We're going to open the House Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources. It is April 25th, 2011. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 640.
Chair, you have to open a subcommittee if we don't have a quorum.
It's just a public hearing. Senator Girard. And do you want to just go first or bring Commissioner Milne with you?
I think...
Should let her go with the other folks? Okay.
Well, yeah.
In case you have to
Senator Courtney might come down and Representative Gilliam might come down.
Okay.
So. Co-chairs Clem and Jensen. I'm Senator Fred Girard. I represent Senate District 9, which includes 18 little cities and the better part of Clackamas, Marion, and Linn counties. I want to thank you for hearing this bill. This is a good bill, Senate Bill 640. The bill corrects an oversight in current land use law. We all recognize the importance of fire suppression, and especially fire suppression in rural Oregon. Right now, it is an allowed use under EFU land. So right now, you can currently build a fire station, have an outright use to do it on EFU property. The problem that exists right now is that you can't partition the EFU property for fire suppression or a fire station. This bill takes care of that discrepancy. You will hear from Chief Yoder, the Aurora Fire Chief, Fred Netter and Greg Leo, Fire District Board, Commissioner Patty Milne, Senator Courtney, and Representative Gilliam. So I just wanted to share my support for this. This is an oversight in land use. It will allow for a fire station to be built. If you know the Aurora interchange on the freeway, that's where it's going to be built at. So it'll, you know, it'll have effects from Woodburn to Wilsonville and then east and west quite a ways. And also it sets the precedent that if you have a fire district, you can build on EFU property. It's a good bill. It passed the Senate with no opposition. Thank you so much. Any questions?
Any questions for our Senate colleague?
And I just want to say to Representative Cohen that, you know, I'm going to be hearing a controversial bill next door about the Reedsport Chainsaw Art Fest, and, I'm going to look at that favorably.
Supporting of you, but it's not my district. So.
That would be Speaker Roblin's district. Good choice.
I better be very careful.
Good choice.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for. No. I don't know if we've had any senators in front of our committee yet.
Oh, this is.
No, man. Maybe Chris Edwards on. Senator Edwards has been here on something.
We had a surrogate.
Okay. No, Vic Gilliam. So. All right, then. I'm going to ask Fred Netter, Rod Yoder, and Commissioner Patty Milne to join us. And.
Co-chairs Clem and Jensen, thank you for allowing us to be here today. I've provided a letter I'm here on behalf of the Marion County Board of Commissioners, and we support this piece of legislation.
Give us your name again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's been a while since you've been here.
Yeah. Patty Milne, Marion County Commissioner. Thank you. And I'm not going to go through the whole letter. You can read that yourselves. These gentlemen will give you the details on this piece of legislation. But as a Marion County Commissioner, the safety and well-being of our constituents in Marion County and those who are traveling and visiting North Marion County is, of course, a huge priority. The timely professional response to emergencies in this diverse area is a high priority to Marion County government. Aurora Fire District has found an ideal and I'm not saying the whole name, I'm shortening it. The Fire District has found an ideal site, and this would be extremely good use of that site because they would only be using a portion of it. And we are ready to help them move forward without delay after this bill is passed. We do need your help, however, in this fix and a little bit of a glitch in the land use laws. So we support and encourage you to approve Senate Bill 640. Thank you.
Rod, or whoever wants to go next.
Co-Chair Klemp and Co-Chair Jensen. I'm Fred Netter. I'm the president of the Aurora Rural Fire Protection District Board of Directors. I'd like to thank you, first of all, for taking your time to listen to this and to consider this bill. We consider it very important, not just to us, but to other rural fire districts, and it is pretty limited in what it will do. You have to be a rural fire district, and we are that. We're 64 square miles. About 2 square miles of that are in towns, Aurora and Donald. We have a small station in each town, and they are mostly manned by volunteers. The issue is it's kind of hard to find volunteers now in the daytime. They're all working, and not all, but most of them are working, and so we're finding ourselves in a position where we have to hire some full-time paid staff, and we have 4 of those and some students. The problem becomes, where do you put those? Both of our stations are on the outer edge of our district. And that's why we decided to convene a long-range planning committee several years ago, and we came up with the solution to build a centralized station and training facility so that if we were training or in the daytime when the volunteers are gone, we can respond from the center of the district and have much better response times, we feel. Also, the two towns are separated by 2 railroad tracks and by the Interstate 5 corridor, which goes through the middle of our district. So being located close to that, since 51% of our calls are in that I-5 corridor, is going to, we feel, help in our response times in that area. We just need your help to try to get this land use change taken care of so that we can buy part of the farm instead of wasting the whole farm for a fire facility that doesn't need it all. Thank you very much. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Co-Chair Klemm and Co-Chair Jensen and committee members, thank you for this time today. One of the things that in our response that I think is important, 10% of our response is to the city of Aurora.
Give us your name.
Oh, Aurora. I'm sorry. Name is Rod Yoder, and I live at 25490 South Roten Road in Aurora, Oregon. 10% of our response is to the city of Aurora, and 10% goes to the city of Donald, and 80% is truly rural. So we are building this station to serve a rural district, and it will, I think, actually put less burden on the farmland, because instead of taking a full 60-acre piece, we could just take a small amount. And for public safety, we've had good support. We actually had a letter of support from the Clackamas County Farm Bureau, verbal support from Marion County Farm Bureau. So, if you have any questions.
Any questions for this panel?
I'm ready to vote.
Okay, well, a few more. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Gilliam, why don't you mosey on up here? We're glad you could join us. Senator Gerard really missed having your counsel at the table, but we'd love to hear your pearls of wisdom.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Co-Chair,
Claire.
Members of the members of the committee. My name is Vic Gilliam, and I'm the state representative for Donald and Aurora. And I'm sorry that Representative Escoval, the realtor, is not here, because the whole key here is location, location, location. Thank you for taking a look at this. I'm glad that you've already heard from the folks that need this and why they need it. I'm sorry that you had to hear from Senator Gerard, but I'm here to answer any questions that you may or may not have.
Questions for Representative Gilliam.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, Representative Schaffler.
Did you color this in?
It's not completed yet. It's something to do on the floor.
Further questions? I've got a couple.
I see you, man. Yeah. We can do those offline. That's
great. No, we'll do them right now. explain to me the nuances between the 08 bill and lot line adjustments and this parcel subdivision bill and the land use system generally.
Well, thank you, Co-Chair. And Co-Chair, a child of three could explain those to you, and I'll have your daughter do that later.
I will do that. Thank you. And one more question. Isn't this current Aurora Fire Hall the scene of a town hall that I think you and I held together, maybe?
It's. Thank you, Claire, Tim. As you know, we do share a district at times, depending on who my opponent is. And I appreciate you bringing that forward. I look forward to more meetings like that with you.
Fantastic. Thank you. Any further questions for our colleague? Great. Good. It was nice to have you.
Thank you.
Okay. Back to the serious, real people.
Mr. Chair,
oh, yes?
Excuse me. I noticed that Representative Gill brought his umbrella. Was this a proactive move on your part?
Is it a prop?
Expecting.
I'm going to do everything.
Does he know something we don't?
Yes.
It's that box of tomatoes in the back here.
Greg Leo, Genoa Ingram, and Mark Landauer, please.
Co-Chair Glem, Co-Chair Jensen, my name is Greg Leo. I'm an elected fire director for the fire district from District Number 5. This gives us a great opportunity to improve our service and to be located in a place where we can deal with the incidents that happen on I-5. As you've heard from the fire chief, 52% of our calls come there in the I-5 corridor. So strategic location, important opportunity, something which will make better fire service for our rural residents. And we would urge a due pass today. Thank you.
Co-Chairs Clement Jensen, Genoa Ingram, Oregon Fire District Directors Association. The Oregon Fire District Directors were responsible for the legislation several sessions ago that allowed fire stations to be built in, outright in EFU zone. We were probably short-sighted in not thinking about allowing the ability to subdivide so that it preserves the remaining farmland that is not needed for the station. The board of directors of the Fire District Directors Association did ask me to come here, though, and put on the record that we very much support this, and I'll end there because I sense the committee's overwhelming support of this bill.
Good afternoon. Mark Landauer with the Special Districts Association. SDAO supports Senate Bill 640. Certainly protects taxpayers, protects farmlands. Good bill. And with that, I'm happy to conclude.
Any other questions for this group or any questions? Okay. Thank you all. That's it. I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 640 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 122. Ask Vicki McConnell to come up and tell us a little bit about this bill.
Good afternoon, Chair Clem and Chair Jensen and committee members. For the record, my name is Vicki McConnell, and I'm the director of the Oregon Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. And I thank you for taking time to consider this bill that we have brought forward today. This is pretty simple in its concept, and just to bring it for you forward, most of you folks here are familiar with the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, but yeah, some of you are really familiar with the department. We have in our geologic survey, generally what we do are federal and other fund contracts working for the state to work on our mission and goals, and that frequently some of our programs, we have the interest of both nonprofits and the private sector that would be interested in partnering in some of our programs and projects. And the way that our organic statutes are written right now, we are not allowed to enter into contracts or agreements with private sector or nonprofits or non-governmental at this point, only academia and other governmental agencies. So when we do have, for example, we have a LIDAR consortium program right now, of which when we have areas of interest, all organizations and governments and federal and state agencies that may be interested in and participating in those consortia are not able to do it if they're not for profit or the private sector, unless we find a willing or friendly state or local government that can run the contract for us. That's not particularly a transparent or efficient way to run government, and so we just bring this bill before you today to clear that up so that we have a little bit better, definitely have better transparency and more efficiency. Bring you the record before, it did pass unopposed on the Senate side. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that anyone has.
Only Mr. Chair, Ms. McConnell brings up something I requested of staff. I would like in the future to know who carried these bills and what the vote was and who voted no on the measure summary. If they could do that, please. Thank you.
Chair Klim and Chair Jensen and Representative Schaffler, it was carried by Senator Thompson. And it did pass unopposed in this case. And Senator Thompson, it was his first bill to carry, and he did get a little bit of ribbing on it.
Mr. Chair, yes. He should be here testifying right now. I'm going to have a word with him.
That's right.
Tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, any questions for Vicki? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And then we have, we don't. Jerry Light does not know.
I'm sorry, I gave her the wrong number.
Gotcha, okay. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else here? So, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 122 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 296. And.
So, there's district
Anderson. I don't know if Senator Farioli is coming. Probably not. So, Dr. Bob Bullard and Jerry Light.
Do you know where he is? Play a hooky. Could you sit in the chair?
Thank you. Co-chairs Clement, Jensen, members of the committee. My name is Bob Bullard, Dr. Bob Bullard. I just come today as a concerned citizen. This bill came to my attention. It doesn't affect me directly a lot. I hunt on hunting preserves in Oregon. I'm also a game bird propagator. I'm a veterinarian, happen to be a deputized state veterinarian, federally accredited veterinarian, have some familiarity with game bird diseases, and have read this Senate Bill 296 I just think it's just such an egregious bill, and I'm so surprised that it's gone this far without being killed, that I think it needs to be addressed. So I think it ought to be renamed the Three Mile Island Bill. What this does is it establishes a 3-mile area protection around every game preserve in Oregon whereby no other game preserves can be established. They already have a 0.5-mile protection zone, which in and of itself is pretty incredible. I wish I had a 0.5-mile around my businesses, any of my businesses, my veterinary clinic. Wouldn't any business like to have a 0.5-mile protection where no other business of the same description could be established? And now they want 3 miles. They've claimed some environmental hazards that they think are important. And to have a 3-mile exclusion zone around a business claiming an environmental hazard, one would think that they would have to be held to a very high standard to do so. And they have submitted 2 letters, and they have not verified any of their facts. They have not met any standard. The standard that they're concerned that they've thrown out is one of disease. And I think that all of these guys, I know these guys, I sell some birds to them, they're good people. And that's why it's difficult for me to come before you today. I like these people. But this is a veiled attempt to protect their industry and to keep anyone else from competing with them. I think Jerry Russell, president of their organization, wrote a letter and threw out some big words about disease, threw out the word coccidiosis. He's going to protect his flock from coccidiosis. I don't want to give you a class on disease, on game bird diseases today, but coccidiosis is a ground-dwelling parasite that any backyard chicken raiser has to worry about controlling his flock against coccidiosis. It lives in the soil. Any of us that raise game birds have to deal with coccidiosis. If you have a 500-mile exclusion zone around your flock, you're not going to control coccidia. It's silly. It's absolutely silly. The other one that he mentioned was avian influenza. Well, that's a nice catchword. But, you know, game bird diseases are different than mammalian diseases. Bird diseases are spread by the millions of birds that migrate through Oregon every year. Mammalian diseases we can control by writing health certificates and controlling the movement of livestock around the state and around the country. We do that all the time. But it's a far different business to control bird diseases. And virtually every bird disease known to veterinary medicine is endemic worldwide in the wild bird populations, including influenza. Avian, and just the latest variants, the H1N1 virus, as we realize, what did it take, 6 months to have worldwide distribution of H1N1? You know, if they were really concerned about, so avian influenza as a virus occurs everywhere. It's just not a very virulent virus. There are certain strains that are virulent, and the big one, the touch point one, is the H1N1. If the game bird guys wanted to be, preserve guys wanted to be protective about H1N1, why would they let hunters on their within the 3 mile radius? Why would we allow anyone within 3 miles of a grade school? You know, that's silly. It's not the way we control game bird diseases in Oregon or in the United States or anywhere else. So I think I've outlined that in my letter that I gave you. My bullet points there are simply that it doesn't address the entire issue. There are no specific diseases to game birds that aren't endemic in all poultry diseases. So by doing this, what about all the other game bird propagators in Oregon? These guys are propagating game birds, but there's another 50 commercial game bird propagators in Oregon, and there's literally hundreds of people that propagate game birds that don't have a license from ODFW because they don't need one, because they're hobbyists. So are we going to protect them from a 3 mile limit? What about all the backyard chicken producers? What about all the commercial poultry producers? Now they're worried about birds flying onto their preserves. Well, gosh, what about their birds flying onto our place? What protection do they offer for all the rest of us? None. So would this protection to extend to other game bird producers who are not preserve operators? Do we get a 3 mile protection zone? Not in this bill. There's thousands of game birds raised by propagators throughout Oregon. And they can be released anywhere. They can be released by, we can release game birds across the fence from a game preserve to train our dogs. But that's not regulated. So how's the 3 mile limit going to do anything? The half mile limit really doesn't do anything. You know, this is a protectionist bill. And the reason that it's brought before you today is because there's only 64 licensed preserves in Oregon, and they can do it. Think what would have happened 50 years ago or whenever it was, when there was only 50 or 60 nurserymen in the state of Oregon. You know, as my mother used to say, what if everybody did it? You know, the nurserymen, the wheat growers, the alfalfa growers, they're all worried about disease too, as you guys know, ladies and gentlemen know. What if everybody did it? So, if the preserve operators want a 3 mile limit, and they should be held to this high standard, they should go to the state veterinarian, or to Dr. Don Hansen, who I know, and to the NPIP guy, Dr. Bruce Muller, and they should ask for their support. I know those gentlemen, and I work with them occasionally. I don't think they'll get it, because that's just not how game bird diseases are managed. They're not managed that way in Oregon or any place else in the United States. They also raised the issue of dog issue. Well, the dogs might run onto the preserve. But wouldn't we all like to have a three-mile limit where our neighbor dogs don't run onto our place? How nice that would be. They talked about the change in lands issue. If they change leases, by increasing it to 3 miles, it just makes it more cumbersome for anybody else to lease more land because, what is that, a 10-mile area that they have protected? So what this bill does is it protects 64 landowners. It doesn't protect the citizens of Oregon. It doesn't protect future businessmen in Oregon who want to establish preserves. We need game preserves, and we have a good system for having game preserves. But we need to protect our free enterprise system a lot more, and we need to keep the playing field level for all agricultural producers. This is obviously a flawed piece of legislation. It's designed to stifle competition, and it does obviously nothing to protect the health of livestock or the health of the industry in Oregon. I thank you very much for your time, representatives.
Thank you. And Jerry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is kind of new to me. My name is Jerry Light. I live in Washington County, have lived in Washington County for 70 years. I've owned 3 businesses, a consulting business, a building business, and a land developing business. I don't shoot on preserves, and I could really care if they make a lot of money or they don't make a lot of money. I hunt, I train, and I do a lot of judging nationwide for field trials. That isn't even why I'm here. Why I'm here is, if this goes through, maybe I'll start another business. But maybe I'll continue spreading out my consulting business, and you folks will give me a 3-mile limit around, or a 10-mile limit around it, where nobody else could compete with me. I think that would help. 1980 and 81, I don't know what you guys were doing. I was building houses. And I was paying one hell of a lot of interest, and it sure would have been a lot easier if nobody else could have built around me. I think this is just plain not the American way to say, I have a business, there's 64 of us in the state of Oregon, and nobody else is going to be within so many miles around me. Now, you may like that, but I don't think it's the American way. And I would very much hope that at least some of you, see it the same way. Thank you.
Any questions for these gentlemen?
Convinced me.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
for
you.
Coming.
Thank you.
We did send a note to Senator Farioli's office. We'd be hearing it today. Obviously, they're not here, so we'll see if we can get anything in writing or something from the proponents of the bill, since we don't have anybody here to advocate in its favor. And with that, we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 296.
Said why we should do it, stupid.
There's something I was supposed to say. No meeting Friday. No meeting Friday. And all these, well, whatever bills are from here will be up Monday for work sessions.
Mr. Chair?
Vice Chair Kelly.
If the proponent of this bill does decide to ask you to bring it back, could we also hear from the department to get a little bit of balance in this? I have no idea about this stuff.
Yeah.
The department, I assume, ODF&W is remaining neutral last time I talked to them, which was about an hour ago.
Okay.
Yeah, or somebody from the association that's at the request of or something.
I thought they were going to be here.
Yeah.
So it's next session.
Well, I hunting preserves to begin with myself. And, okay, then. I'm going to adjourn the meeting. It's nice having you all.
Jeez. Nice.